I'd like a bowl of hot alphabet soup.
Hi, my name is Hayden, and I have a new show on CFRC called Alphabet Soup.
A bowl of hot?
Make sure it's hot.
Alphabet Soup is a musical variety show that's live every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m.
Make sure it's hot.
Right.
Okay, sir. Coming right up.
Tune in to hear something classic or something fresh. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CFRC.
Hey, Charlie, table 26 wants a hot alphabet soup.
What's for lunch today?
Alphabet soup.
Soup, soup, soup. Alphabet soup.
I made it special.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's alphabet soup.
We call it alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Because we make it a lot with alphabet-shaped pasta.
The letters are now twice as big.
Whatever's fun, little stars, little letters. Sometimes I will use
alligator, big, bear,
C. Campbell's alphabet soup.
Soup from a can? Disgusting!
Good morning, and welcome to Alphabet Soup, the show where each week we pull three albums off the shelf and take a closer look. The title of today's episode is Me, Myself, and I. This week on the show, I have a folk enigma from a New Brunswick songwriter who will be calling into the show to tell us about his album in his own words. Then, I have the moody masterpiece of a modern UK indie icon. And finally, I have an album originally meant to be heard only by its author, the strange alter ego of a legendary hip-hop producer. Owen Steele is an artist that works only when the moment is right. He's been a presence in the Canadian, and more specifically, East Coast music scene for many years, releasing projects on and off and playing shows on the road all across the country. But when he's not making music, fans of his unique brand of poetic and mysterious folk have waited patiently for his return. In June of 2024, they got it. Our first album of today's show is Comb by Owen Steele.
Greetings. Saved message sent by
Benny Allen. Listen, you little fucking punk. I've been going back and forth with Schwitz Bouquet for 12 hours now, and I just found this rotten, ugly, stupid, moldy set of flowers that I found on the beach that I assume came from somewhere in the depths of the ocean. Now, I know you're some sort of pervert, and you find that interesting, and I just wanted you to know that I got it, and I won't take no for an answer. It's going to cost you, but it's old and authentic,
external reactions of chemicals, positive and negative, the balance of the opposites, the push and pull, and the flux, the channeling of cosmic flow. Just connect the battery, disconnect the battery, just connect the battery, disconnect the battery, the battery, disconnect the battery, just connect the battery, disconnect the battery. Open up my eyes to let in the light. Persuasion of a curious mind, conversion of ethereal kind. Commenced to dance and flux, channeling of cosmic blood. Negative and positive, the balance of the opposite. Just connect the battery, disconnect the battery. Just connect the battery, disconnect the battery. Disconnect the battery, just connect the battery, disconnect the battery, the battery, disconnect the battery, just connect the battery, disconnect the battery, the battery, disconnect.
So I want to talk to you about the sound of this album to start off. I've tried to sort of describe this album to people, telling them about it. And I've seen lots of words used in writing about this, like psychedelic folk or just sort of generally eclectic. I want to know if there's like a word or phrase that you use to describe your album Comb.
I've always sort of seen what I do either on record or live as sort of like a variety show.
Sure, yeah.
Which is maybe not, I mean, that might conjure up the wrong image. Like, I'm not, up on stage in a clown outfit, like spinning plates or anything like that. But,
well, variety is a good word to use, I think, especially when I hear about your sort of personal backstory and things like that. Is it true that you ran an antique shop?
Yeah, I did. Only for 3 seasons. When the pandemic hit, I was in St. John, and then for various reasons lost my apartment there, so moved home to St. Andrews, New Brunswick, for what was supposed to be just like a couple months, and then I ended up running this antique shop that it was very random, actually. I was collecting a bunch of used junk, essentially, and I just sort of got to a point where I realized I had a lot, and a little space came up for rent, and I just decided to open up a shop.
I just love that detail when I listen to this album, because it's sort of that energy of like picking up little things from here and there and putting them all together in one space.
Yeah, sort of like a magpie, you know, picking up like shiny things, and very much so. That's a good way to sort of compare it. I've never thought of it before, but that's very true.
It's broken and it's beaten up. It's constant. concentrated, just like a metamorphic rock or frozen juice in a cylindrical gourd. It's rough as nails, it's tough as steel. It's really, really quite hard. Until you make it easy.
So, Owen, take me back to the start of making this record, Comb. Was it the kind of thing where you sat down one day and just thought it's time to make an album, or did it sort of slowly build and develop over time?
Yeah, I initially went into it. Was the album was recorded or created, co-produced in close collaboration with my friend Keith Hallett. And initially, I just went into Keith's studio in Fredericton to do one song. And it was just a really great session, and it felt good, sounded good. That would have been in, I think, in February of 2022. And after that first session, we just said, okay, we got to just keep rolling with it and make a full record.
Well, I'm glad that you bring up Keith, because I wanted to talk about the collaboration on this. It's, you know, it's an album with your name on it, and it's a fairly personal project, but it wasn't a solo endeavor, so I want to know kind of what that collaboration looked like between you two in the studio days.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've known Keith for a really long time. And Keith on the East Coast is sort of, I at least look at him as sort of like a cult figure. He's sort of maybe known for not being known, and he's just one of those guys that has a like profound understanding of music and appreciation and love for it. Keith opened up, or didn't even open up, he just started this space for himself, Never Nothing Studios. He opened, or he built it for himself several years ago, and I think slowly started bringing friends in. I consider myself a songwriter, and I'm a musician, but I'm also, I don't know, I guess I've got some hang-ups, like I've got some insecurities, like I hear music, but sometimes speaking the language is hard for me, and I need help, and Keith, just like right from the get-go, was so instrumental. So yeah, every session that we did, I'd bring an idea, and Keith would help me develop it.
Even though, you know, you're sort of pouring your mind out on these songs, it is definitely helpful to have somebody else around to guide that into the direction that it needs to go.
If you tell me the truth, I won't punish you. Now, promise me you won't fib anymore.
I won't lie.
You know you never even saw a liar.
I did, don't you?
Where did you see a liar?
Mrs. Smith has one, sure. And what's the lion that's there now?
Mrs. Smith has a lion? You know very well that's nothing but a little yellow dog.
The kind of sunstruck to a zombie at the end of the long leash is a small dog. Sunlight, rich drizzle, trash bag, visible through the fog. Thank you.
want you to kneel down and pray for forgiveness for telling so many fibs.
I also want to talk to you in other collaborations to do with this album. I want to talk to you about the visual sort of world of this. First of all, in the video for Small Dog, is that your dog that you're walking around with?
Yes, that is. Yeah, that's Nanook. Nanook is my partner, Jesse. It's funny. Jesse got him as a puppy 11 years ago and was told by whoever it was, the SPCA or whoever, that he was going to be like a large dog.
Right.
And he just never grew.
Hence the song.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the song, there's some metaphor there, but yeah. I mean, that is Nanook.
Well, I think that video like really adds a lot to the world and atmosphere of this album, and as well the cover. For our radio listeners, it's sort of like a wood painted with an image of your face with the lyrics on the album sort of painted all over it. Tell me about how you landed on that to be the cover of this album.
Yeah, so that's my friend Benny Allen. He's a maritime folk artist. Yeah, for the visuals, I didn't even have to think about it. I just knew I wanted Benny involved. So we started talking over the phone. There were several album covers I had seen that I sent to him, and we just somehow arrived at using, my face, having the words sort of making up the texture of the skin and whatnot.
Did you pick which lyrics were going to be on there, or was that Benny?
No, it was Benny.
Did you find that interesting to have somebody else pick out the lines that they thought were most impactful for them to be on the cover?
I'm definitely curious as to like why he picked certain ones, but I mean, I didn't really question, you know, it's just what popped out for him. And I loved it, and I signed off on it. So right.
My eyelids heard what was spoken, took a vow of silence. Cut to the chase and omit everything you have written. Shake and shimmy, oh yeah, rattle like a serpent. The word when I stopped to listen, I thought I knew, became uncertain. Thank you.
sad once I closed my eyelids. Heard what was spoken, took a vow. Silence.
It sounds like from Keith to Jesse to Benny that you kind of reached around in your life to bring together collaborations for this album. But also, I mean, fundamentally, this album is a product of you. And in the past, you described this album as kind of like a way of dealing with internal noise. Does putting this album out into the world, you know, recording all of these thoughts and feelings and then putting it out, does that feel cathartic now that the album's been out for, you know, a few months?
Honestly, like, I wish it felt more cathartic. I'm definitely glad it's out, because now I can, that's another thing that Keith and I really always talked about, was just, you know, getting something done and just putting it out, and so we can move on to the next thing. Yes, it's definitely cathartic. It is cathartic.
Was it nerve-wracking to put this out? Because it does feel like a sort of a peek into your brain of, for me, a complete stranger.
A lot of the, as far as this album, Comb, like the songs, and for all of the songs, not all of the songs, but the majority of the songs I write, I find I use what I call like the antenna method, where I sort of just do a lot of free writing and kind of build a song from like seeing what comes through me and then dissecting it afterwards. We did a lot of it. I had ideas going into the studio, but we did kind of create a lot of it just on the fly in the studio. And it was after creating it that I realized, okay, there is this sort of theme of noise. I call it sort of like this internal violent static that, but yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking to like even say that, and it's kind of a darker album, so it is a bit nerve-wracking to put that out into the world. But you know, people, it is what it is. People, it's not mine anymore, so people can interpret it how they will.
Well, Owen, the album Comb is really beautiful and really unique and singular. I really appreciate you talking to me on the show today, and I hope that we get to see these songs live soon. That was Owen Steele speaking about his new album, Comb. It's tough to describe the music released by UK artist King Cruel to someone that hasn't heard it. It's dense and dreary, not something to listen to on a bright sunny day with blue skies overhead, as our second album's cover might suggest. King Cruel puts a level of passion into his songs that's rarely replicated. But these songs require some patience and attention in return from their listener. From 2017, our second album of today's show is The Ooze by King Cruel.
I seem to sink lower, gazing in the rays of the solar. In fact, we made a pact, but now I think it's over. I'm red and white, but he sipped on K.A. soda. Fuck, that's Coca-Cola. It's TV sports, the Olympic Ebola. I think we might be bipolar. I think she thinks I'm bipolar. He left the crime scene without the Motorola. Still had dreams being young Frank Zola. For at least for now it's all over. Yeah, at least for now it's all over. I seem to sink lower. Biscuit time. Biscuit time. Your shallow waters, I'm the deep sea bed, and I'm the reason you flow. I got my moons wrapped around my head and Jupiter knows. Whilst you orbit with some stupid hoes. Only a slacker would know. Tryna get up and group home. Tryna eat from the same bowl. And my troop is a bowl, just like I seem to sink low up. Biscuit time. I see him sink lower. In biscuit time. In biscuit time. the taste in her mouth. She whispers all about. She's gonna miss a match deep down south. No more wheelers, dealers creeping about. At least none that she knows. Thrown away so much till I'm rolled up in the same old Dutch. Need a touch of my libido. And now she's nearly hitting speed homes. As we proceed to a street dome. In the bottom, not a weak bone. A strong mind, but she's still got side for a people. Not that she knows. That's what he knows. Give me this guitar.
So what is King Krule? When I first heard the name, I thought of the crocodile villain from Donkey Kong, King K. Rool, which shares the spelling. But Archie Marshall says his name has no relation. Instead, it's referencing a 1958 movie, King Creole, starring a young Elvis Presley. In the movie, Elvis plays a 19-year-old club singer who gets mixed up with a gang in New Orleans and ends up in over his head. The movie is fairly bleak and dramatic, the second half mostly taking place in dark streets of New Orleans, where Elvis is being pursued by a gangster henchman, while the people he cares about are constantly dragged down into his perilous circumstances and hurt or killed because of it. I wonder if this story gives any kind of insight into King Krule's music and world. Archie's musical career stretches far back, long before the Ooze in 2017. In 2008, he won a competition hosted by Rough Trade to play at Glastonbury Festival. He was 14 at the time.
Hi, my name is Archie, I'm 14 and I come from London. I play guitar and sometimes I play keyboard, but I sing as well.
The entry point into his mind, for me, is this image. A young artist bursting with ideas is thrown into the public eye early. His life is very private, but he describes this time in interviews as being marked by mental health challenges and music as an escape. Contrasting the outward energy of 14-year-old Archie against the sounds of 23-year-old King Krule on the Ooze, paints a picture of someone who did a lot of growing up very quickly.
It would be great, really. Glastonbury's a big occasion. It's like famous and that. And so to even be a part of it, even get here, that's pretty good.
else that's screaming. I think we're gonna crash. The driver's speaking and the car is still intact. It was only minor. Ooh, that's the end of that. Ooh, that's the end of that. As I know there are some things you don't know.
So then, what is the ooze? Sonically, it has a thick fog to it. The sounds come in and out through this haze that's layered on every track. The meandering songs sometimes feel like being lost walking home alone deep into the AM. There are samples on this album too. You can catch the theme song from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on here. And there are field recordings too that Archie took. Footsteps and animals recorded at night. The lyrics are a mix of haunting and sharp. Sometimes it's barely interpretable poetry that floats and drifts around, and sometimes it's the kind of thoughts that pass through your brain in those same dark hours, whether you ask them to or not. And then, of course, there is King Krule's voice. The range that he showcases on here is what makes this album, to me, truly one of one. He maintains this constant rumbling growl that vibrates your skull through a good pair of headphones, but then without warning, he might explode into his signature violent roar, an outburst of emotion against the otherwise stark backdrop.
Twisted war, the chain.
through my bones, racing through my body. And if you don't know, and if you don't care, don't try to hide it. You're not even there. And if you don't know, and if you don't care, don't try to fight it. You're not even aware. And if you don't know, and if you don't care, don't try to fight it. You're not even there. And if you don't know, and if you don't care, don't try to fight it. You're not even there. Brother, brother, I've only got two fighting hands. Brother, brother, make it hard for us to understand. Brother, brother, I've only got two fighting hands. Brother, brother, they make it hard for us to get together in this land. See, well, y'all never know. At least when you look to the stars, they still glow. Well, not for me, though. Body and head are empty, even when we're toe to toe. I suppose I'll forever be the only one who knows. Aspirations in grown. Stars, they still glow. Well, not for me, though. Body and head are empty, even when we're toe to toe. Your eyes, I suppose. I'll forever be the only one who knows. Aspirations ingrown. Girl, I'll forever be.
King Krule himself has given us an answer as to what the ooze really is. Shortly before this album's release, he told Pitchfork, quote, "It's all about the gunk. It's about the stuff you do subconsciously, like the snot, the earwax, your spit, your beard, your nails, all that stuff. You don't ever think, wow, I'm actually pushing all this stuff out constantly. My brain's creating this gunk, this force field." At over an hour in length, The Ooze by King Krule is an expansive work, touring every ventricle of his brain. When this album was released, Archie was the same age as Elvis was when he starred in that movie, King Creole, a movie about a young man in over his head in the birthplace of jazz. This movie has a happy ending, by the way, where Elvis sings to a packed crowd with his smiling father in attendance. At the conclusion of The Ooze, it's not clear to me where Archie's story has ended, but it sounds something like peace or acceptance. Just accepting the existence of the snot, the earwax, the gunk, the ooze, and then just getting along with it.
Sins are solo explicit, kids follow mystic, that's it deep in the little twitch. Turns pale town, hands span hammer. Souls cold now, lies deep in the grammar. My own collision, born from indecision. Born back in vision, just a monster to decide. They found reasons to try. Clone the sea and night. Brilliant waves bathe the eye.
My heart to your own soul. Till I'm torn to the bone. sleep cooling, steady sleep fooling, brain keeps stooping to a fire. Forms of matter, pristine platter, replicates the flatter of an octopus brain. Someone understanding is hard to clean the man, not seeking food that cracks the glass.
Was The Ooze by King Krule. Musical alter egos, artists creating other names or characters to place as the source of their music, are common across all genres. The third album of today's show represents the concept taken to a more personal place. Madlib is the legendary hip-hop producer who needs no introduction. His career stretches back into the early 90s as a DJ and record producer. But what does a producer do when he doesn't have a rapper around to record over his song? One option is to simply create one. From 2000, our third album of the day is The Unseen by Quasimodo.
Yeah, check it out. Public enemy number one, Lord Quasim on the set. Word back. That character you see up on the screen.
Unjust. Sinful.
Guess who's a new bad character in town? Causing mischief in your city? Spinning this around. I smack his gang with a brick. Talking out of place. Like I was sniffing paint. Lace. Flying up out of space. Or quas. I put your best to a metamorphosis. I be slaving in my dungeon while I'm eating surface. So sit wait. I'm watching pornos with roams. We analyze for the astral black-ish. Madlib got the graphic here, so we get lit. We commence the astral traveling. Grabbing up skin, so we can play a game of javelin.
I'm labeled as a bad character. No matter what I do, I'm labeled as a bad character. I'm labeled as a bad character. No matter what I do, I'm labeled as a bad character. I'm labeled as a bad character.
I'm always looking under some girl's dress with a vest, cause some ducks wanna put me to rest. Now I'm a soldier in the town drinking butterfly snapple. I'm walking around the street passing out poison apples. Now it's time to skip town.
I know who that was.
Hey yo, the Dugganies know how I get down. I stab Iggy in the chest with a pitchfork from behind. It robs rich folk for making my ancestors eat swine. Y'all niggas coming slower than guns while I'm on the run of director. I'm labeled as a bad character.
Yo, I'm labeled as a bad character. No matter what I do, I'm labeled as a bad character.
I warned you, folks. I warned you, sister. Yes, I'm the new bad character.
Quasimodo is the name of a group with two members. Madlib, in his usual producer role, and Lord Quaz, a yellow, furry, anteater-like humanoid alien, rapping. The origins of this character are a little uncertain, but the story typically goes that Madlib was alone in the studio in Oxnard, California, sometime in the 90s. While creating beats only intended for his own private listening, he wanted to hear somebody rap over them. Not liking the sound of his own voice, Madlib played the beat slowed down, recorded himself, and then sped the whole track back up, creating the pitched up voice now known as Lord Quaz.
Hey, Lord Cars, what's running down? How them little piggies be trying to run?
Hey, yo, we head to a party to go see what's happening. Smoking a lot in the car, turn on some rapping. Start the freestyle, we be up on our way. Finish up the blunt.
Somebody pass me that spray.
Get on the freeway, yo, it's after dark. I guess it always pulls up right behind us. Getting some narcs. Letting all kinds of speed cars pass. Just so we could harass our black ass. Police pulling us over for no reason. Searching the car, like it's like a hunting season. Yeah, round. Asking about where's the pound? Where's the guns? Are y'all taking on the run? You got warrants? Y'all just getting ready for some storming? That's how they be cracking. It seems like they be acting. Except it's real life, like they rushing up your residence, searching your crib. They can't find no evidence. Man, this stuff is making me mad, man. Hey, man, I ain't tripping. I'm about to do something. Tired of these pigs harassing every day, man. The other day, Mr. Buddha had this plan. Get grands off the man, so our whole crew could expand. They all wanted me to drive to get away. Car was like, fuck it, cause I ain't got no dough anyway. They straight planned it right in my garage. Thinking large, putting together the entourage. My chicken Drake hit the bank, then broke the hell out. So much money, you couldn't even get that smell out. I got laced with 30 G's to keep it freeze. Bust against the rat, so 5-0's on the breeze. Off police talking about where's the dead president? Set up, y'all. Singing, they ain't got no evidence.
What I love about this idea, creating an alter ego to place behind your music, is that it feels like it's allowed someone like Madlib to branch himself out and escape from being defined as just one thing. And Madlib himself takes this character seriously, speaking about Quaz in interviews as if he's a separate person. It wasn't immediate, though. After recording these songs, Madlib hung on to them for a while, still retaining it as a personal project for his own enjoyment. It took his friend and fellow DJ, Peanut Butter Wolf, to hear the tape and convince Madlib to share Quasimodo with the world, giving us the album with a fitting title, The Unseen. There isn't much information I could find on why he chose the name Quasimodo to represent his personal passion project. But something makes me feel like it was not an accident that he shares the name with the famous Hunchback, an artist who hides his art, who altered his voice beyond recognition because he didn't like the sound of it, but eventually uses this as a strength.
Quasimodo, we keep it on that neck. Lord Quaz, Mr. Buddha Skeeter, Madlib control the head dip. We doing volume 2, taking over is a new breed. Taking out the wax, singing, speaking on hatred, greed. It's universal.
What's up, man?
Lord Quaz, yo, my verse will. I be leaving with the stash for surprise money, yo, a purse full.
Gotta have comprehension for this whack MC prevention. Another Madlib invention to get your attention. We coming from the dungeon, lyrical surgeons. Beat her splurging.
We'll open you up like a virgin.
Clean like a public washing machine. My zine for your ears, loud
raw be the unseen.
Hey yo, suckers.
Suckers trying to bring it, but strictly be bluffing. Quasimodo drop jewels on phonies again, acting rough.
The tough MC ain't really saying nothing.
Hey yo, suckers trying to bring it, but strictly be bluffing. Quasimodo drop jewels on phonies again, acting rough.
The tough MC ain't really saying nothing.
I get deep like fathoms of ocean water to drown your whack artificial sonata and all the whack is. You y'all looking like remotes. Remove you like coats of opaque and irritating like a sore throat. I ain't.
Like keep that Michelle, so tell y'all again to freeze before they buy my lyrical shells.
Word to Mr. Buddha, y'all again sounding like intruders.
I remember who's getting way back when y'all again ain't no shooters.
I love calling out your fake so-sos on every coast. The songs again always acting like hoes.
Talk about they want a freestyle but can't even rock a show. Write a cool song, you're probably just an average Joe Blow. On these nets, cause I'm coming for ya. Out the Los Gates of sunny Southern California.
Hey,
yo,
suckers try to bring it, but strictly be bluffing. Quasimodo drop jewels on phonies against acting rough.
Tough MC, ain't really
saying nothing.
Then you ruin.
What can we actually say about the musical style of The Unseen by Quasimodo? The heart of Madlib's music is sampling, an art form that reaches many genres of music, but holds a special and specific place in the world of hip-hop that Madlib inhabits.
My name is Madlib, the beat conductor, aka Quasimodo, aka YNQ, whatever you want to call me. But I do music, mainly hip-hop, jazz, soul, R&B, all that type of stuff.
He credits jazz, above all else, as his primary influence. And jazz vinyl is to Madlib kind of like guitars are to rock stars.
How much money have I blown on records? Probably could have bought a couple houses. Probably could have bought a house or two. I mean, I got two rooms for records. Like, you can't even walk through. My vinyl weighs a ton also, you know what I mean?
When I think about the methods Quasimodo would have had to put in to produce an album like The Unseen, I think it marks its time in music history. Madlib prided himself on spending hours in record shops, searching for something that no one had sampled before, and then chopping it up so it became unrecognizable. The art of crate digging was defined to that specific window of time, when studio technology was advanced enough to allow one person to sit alone and produce a beat, but vinyl records were still the only way to build a sample library.
I mean, do you think of yourself as one of these guys who's keeping sample-based music alive? I mean, you know, people like to sort of peg you that way.
I started out doing that, and that's just what I'm doing. Like, regardless of who's suing me or who, whatever, that's what I grew up on. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I also make music, too, so it doesn't really matter.
Today, crate digging is a whole different game. Samplers can find the most obscure loops and clips imaginable, without needing to breathe in the dust of a record shop. But there's something uniquely magical about a project like Quasimodo and an album like The Unseen, a personal passion project made public, the result of hours of alone time in the studio.
Like, how much time on average in the day do you spend in the studio?
Nonstop, 2 hours, I get about 2 hours of sleep a night at the most.
And of that music every day, how much would you say ends up in a place that you would be happy to put out?
30%. Maybe less than that, you know what I mean? But everything can't come out because I'm always experimenting with different things. I experiment with electronic music, with, you know what I'm saying, rock music, soul, reggae, everything. Like, trying to do everything.
The more you keep your mind, the stronger the light and sound.
Quasimodo, you breathe in your area, putting it on, you're sick with it, like malaria. We rolling like spy versus spy, then we're on dust, leaving grenades on your brain, cause we fly high. Go Quas run the voodoo town, I do the pharaoh's dance, plus drink the bitches brew. I'm living with the Spanish key, I'll meet you in the sanctuary. I'm taking out my shovel, and throwing your body under some rubble. While I'm looking at the day's eye, down the road I'm learning lessons, stepping in the bonfire. Down in my basement, I got whack MCs wearing muzzles, waiting for the axe puzzle.
Quasimodo got the hill parts in the water. I got the high rank flexing with my tie check. Quasimodo got the hill parts in the water. Parts in the water. Parts in the water. Quasimodo got the hill parts in the water. I got the high rank flexing with my tie check.
Quasimodo.
We coming through like earth rock.
What you do?
We jump into your screen like blood clots.
What you mean?
Taking over your crews and whatnots. Wanna be MCs? Rushing lines like venereal diseases. Unseen porn back with mad lippy thesis. Blood quads in the new breed. Still dropping underground releases. Secrets. I got mystical. Magical. We can be tragic for all your MCs caught by cylinder. I disappear invisible to the sight. But the mental always have us on flight.
Right.
Like a time bomb.
What you mean?
Get the jewels in the green. Mad lip, blood quads, Mr. Mood and Skeeter. We form the dream team. Prepare for the unseen. Dropping axe puzzles.
Quasimodo got the ill arsenal. I got the high rank, split you with my tie. Quasimodo got the ill arsenal. Quasimodo got the ill arsenal. I got the high rank, split you with my tie. Quasimodo. Quasimodo. Quasimodo.
That was The Unseen by Quasimodo. Thank you for listening to Alphabet Soup. If you liked what you heard on today's show, be sure to tune in next week for more. If you'd like to listen to past episodes of the show, you can find them on radio.cfrc.ca/programs. The show is written, edited, and produced by me at CFRC in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host, Hayden, and I'll see you next week.
Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic, every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.